most people had told me. You know?
Yeah.
And I was saying, really? Okay, because it's, you know, it was a very good doc, as we all know.
Right.
And so I missed all the screenings, so I just went to see it at the ArcLight, just paid to see it.
Right.
And I was really surprised. It's very simple, it's plain, it's straight, it doesn't make any mistakes, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward. I mean, all the people, I mean, Laurel obviously can't see it, she's passed away, but Stacy and Dane have seen it. And they both appreciated that it wasn't, they didn't feel like it was overly sentimental or Hollywoodized, you know. It seemed very earnest, and I don't know. I don't know what people expect. I mean, maybe you could have spent slightly more time developing that relationship between them, but, you know, you only get a certain amount of minutes before people want to go to the bathroom.
It's only one thing that mildly irritated me, and that's Ellen Page in the very beginning when Julianne Moore indicates, hey, look, I got to sort of keep things on the down low here.
Right.
And Ellen Page is like going, why? You know, I mean, because we're in New Jersey because I'm a cop.
Right.
You know, get a clue.
You know? Right. But that's, you know, it's a valid, you know. I mean, that's the conundrum, isn't it? I mean, no matter where you are or what the circumstances are, you should be able to not have to keep those kind of secrets, you know. I mean, I guess that's what the end goal is, eventually.
In 2015, like, it's a whole different realm. What year was the Free Health thing actually happened in, what, 03, 04? Something like that?
That sounds about right, yeah. Yeah. I can't say that. I actually might be.
Have some notes on it?
I see right here.
Yeah. Because I know the doc came out roughly in 05, I think, or 04, 05.
That's Cynthia Wade's 2007 documentary.
Okay, 07, okay.
In 2005, longtime Ocean County police officer Laurel Hester was diagnosed with cancer. So that's when she was diagnosed.
Right.
But I'm not sure exactly when Laurel and Stacy started seeing each other.
Yeah. And I also thought you were the keeper in 99. I didn't like 99 Homes. I got to be honest. I didn't like the scheme of it.
Why?
I didn't like that it was so obvious that it was going to be one of those, I have to do this because I'm forced to, but I'm going to have my third act turnaround where I'm going to push back and say I won't dismiss or humiliate people. I'm not going to be the bad guy kicking them out. You know, it was written into Andrew Garfield's character. He always seems to play guys who get kicked around or he suffers and then he has his moment in Act 3. You were totally fine. You were the one thing I liked about it.
Because
you were like hardcore and said, look, man, I'm not going there. I don't care what. You know, that was, I totally got that.
Right.
No problems. That was good.
Yeah.
But I didn't, I was kind of, you know.
Well, I guess, yeah. I don't know. I have a lot of respect for what Ramin did. I mean, he did, I think, tell a story that was being kind of neglected. He put a human face on a very dire situation down there, and nobody had really done that. And I think it's a very authentic film. I mean, Andrew met a lot of guys in Dennis's position who were having to make those kinds of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's like based on a Brothers Grimm fairy tale or something.
Right.
I think it's kind of topical. Right. But I can understand being irritated by that structure, I suppose.
How's Red Hook doing? How's the neighborhood? What's happening with the neighborhood?
Red Hook. Is
it getting too yuppified or too...
It had a really strong rebound after Hurricane Sandy. It really took off, actually. There were a lot of...
Was it low enough to be affected by the tides?
Red Oak was decimated by Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Yeah, it was something to see. I mean, it was...
Was your building affected?
Well, I live over the Fairway Grocery Store. I'm not sure if you know where that is. It's the end of Van Brunt Street. It's right by the water. And it's a very popular grocery store, Fairway, which doesn't mean much out here, but in New York it's considered one of the all-time greatest grocery stores. So it's like a five-story building, and the store is on the ground floor, and the store was completely flooded and closed for about 6 months. They had to take everything in the grocery store and throw it out. Everything. That literally, they emptied the entire room and let it sit for a few months just to dry it out and kill all the mold. But we live on the third floor, so water didn't go that high up. So we were back home pretty quick. But yeah. Anyway, so then, you know, once the neighborhood had licked its wounds and healed itself, now there's bunches of new restaurants. I mean, the weekends is crazy, packed with people everywhere.
Is the grocery store you're speaking of, is that a like Whole Foods? Is like a, you know, really good natural stuff, or is it an old fashioned grocery store?
You know, it's got kind of like everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a whole section that's for like organic, vegan, hippy dippy types, with all your seventh generation. You know, you can get your seventh generation non-chlorine bleach, or you can just go get the regular Clorox in the other part. It's up to you. They put the decision in your hands.
I haven't seen, by the way, the Seth Rogen thing that you made.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I'm kind of excited to see it because it was a lot of fun to do.
November, right?
Yeah, I think November 25th, I think. Yeah, but I'm coming back out here for that premiere on the 18th, I think.
November 18th, okay.
Yeah.
I don't associate you, not that you're not versatile, you obviously are, but I just have, when's the last time you were in a relatively, this is kind of a dumb comedy, right? Or is it a sharp comedy? What's it like? What's the tone of it?
It's not high-minded. I mean, it's basically about a big party, and there's a lot of, I mean, I'm playing like a pot dealer, so it's not like Pride and Prejudice or something. But you know, it's like, for example, you bring up Revolutionary Road. I think that shit's funnier than shit in Revolutionary Road. I mean, that guy's funny. That guy, when I read that book and I read the chapters that John Gibbons was in, I fucking laughed my ass off. Right. So I see comedy in a lot of the stuff I do, and I actually did a lot of improv in Chicago.
Yeah,
I still do it from time to time, so it's not like.
Are you in a? Did I hear you're in a play now? Or
yeah, I've been rehearsing a play at my little theater in Chicago. And
what again?
The theater is called A Red Orchid.
How do you spell A-R-E-D?
Yeah, and then orchid like the flower.
Okay.
O R C H I D.
Okay.
It's from Naked Lunch, William Burroughs. He's talking about shooting up.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, pull the dropper back and the red orchid comes up to the...
Oh, nice.
So anyway, that's where the theater guy's name. So, yeah, I'm rehearsing a play there that's actually pretty hysterically funny. So, having a good time doing that.
What dates will it be open?
Well, right now I'm trying to finish up this Tom Ford movie out here, Nocturnal Animals. So I am here shooting during the week, and then on the weekends I go back and rehearse in Chicago. So I'm doing that for another couple of weeks, and then the play opens in Chicago November 9th.
I take it that I can read about Nocturnal Animals online, but is there, to your knowledge, a synopsis of what it is about?
Nocturnal Animals, yeah, I could tell you. I mean, Amy Adams is playing an art dealer in L.A., and she's married and has a daughter and whatnot. And one day she gets a package from an old flame of hers, who was a writer, a kind of struggling writer. And she opens it up and says, "Hey, it's me. I finally finished my book. Here it is. I'd love for you to read it." So it kind of goes back and forth between her life and the book.
We visit the book by way of drama.
By her, yeah. When she starts reading the book, you start seeing what she's reading. I'm a character in the book. I play a police lieutenant detective in Texas, Bobby Andes. Yeah.
Tom Ford likes to take his time getting the next project. What was the single Man, right?
Yeah, I think it's been about 7 years, I think.
That was really good.
Man, yeah. Well, you know, he's obviously a busy fella. I don't think he rushes into these things. I mean, I think if he's going to invest the time and energy into making a movie, he wants to make sure it's worthwhile. Sure. Yeah.
The DP of A Single Man, I think his name is Udo Grau, G-R-A, like, or Edu Grau, E-D-U, mm-hmm. And he shot Suffragettes. I was just talking to him last night.
Oh, wow. How's that movie?
That's really something, I think. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a show, it's basically, it's like a free cinema movie of the early 60s from England. It's got, it's loose and it's cut well. It doesn't feel staid or, you know, traditional.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel too crazy. It doesn't whip pan. I mean, visually, it's very nicely put together. And it's it's immersion of what a brutal, hard, life-threatening thing it is to push against established order and the cost of it. It's certainly no walk in the park, and there's a lot of hurt. But it's real, and I totally believe it. And of course, it ends with a big thing that happened at the King's Derby outside of London, in which the suffragette stepped out on the raceway and grabbed the King's horse as it was coming at, like, whatever, 40 miles an hour, and she killed herself.
Wow.
And the
is that Carrie Mulligan?
Hmm?
Is that Carrie Mulligan's character?
Carrie Mulligan is not that woman, but it's the woman who's... So Carrie Mulligan is there, and she's the fictitious character, Maud, who's kind of the stand-in for a lot of working class women. Mm-hmm. And after I saw it in Telluride, I found that it's on YouTube. It's an actual black and white newsreel footage of this.
Oh, of this actual event.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of, you know, it kind of galvanized, because if someone's willing to die for something, it kind of gets people's attention. And,
Yeah, I think that's so funny. Yeah. I don't think of us being the same age. But
I just remembered when I was reading, you know, Revolutionary Road, and I was thinking, oh, they're the same age, 74, right?
That's right. Yeah, I guess so. We're both, I'm 41. I don't know.
You drink at all?
What is it?
You drink at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love wine. Jesus. Yeah. I love it. Good glass of red wine, but the character I'm playing in the movie, The Nocturnal Animals, is supposed to be pretty scrawny.
Okay.
So, I could actually probably afford to be even scrawnier than I am, but I'm not one of those guys that can just eat a can of tuna fish every day. I don't know how they do it.
Okay.
Or Christian Bale.
He did that for something. He went down, way down to like
Machinist.
Yeah, that's right. 35, 40.
For McConaughey, for Dallas Buyers Club. Or even Jake. I'm working with Jake Gyllenhaal right now. He loves to get skinny.
Is he in this also?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, all my stuff's with him. Yeah, I really like him. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, too.
I saw him in Constellations.
So you go see plays too, huh?
Anytime I can.
Yeah. You spend much time in New York?
Well, often as I can. I got my older son lives there, who does the advertising for Hollywood Elsewhere.
All right.
And I grew up back east.
Yeah.
Connecticut, rather than the city, for about 8 years.
You should come. I'm going to do Long Day's Journey in the Night on Broadway.
I would love to see that. Wow.
It's Jessica Lange and Gabriel Byrne are playing the parents.
That sounds really good.
And I'm doing it, and then this fella, John Gallagher Jr., you know him?
Yeah.
He's on Newsroom.
Oh, I probably
He's done some
that.
Music. I think he was in American Idiot when they did it on Broadway.
Okay.
He's playing Edmund.
I actually saw that, American.
Yeah, you probably see him.
Yeah. So this is a pretty great time for you. I'm just glad you hit these two notes this year, because I really want to see you in. I don't want to see you play snarly bad guys. The detective in the bike racing movie. What was that one?
Premium Rush. Yeah.
That was okay, but it was just another shit.
I thought that was fun. I did that because I just thought it was a fun, really fun thing to do. I mean, I didn't think. To me, that was like comedy. That was, to me, it was funny. It was a funny.
Ken Russell's Tommy?
No, comedy.
Oh, comedy.
Yeah, it was like, okay, this would be fun. This would be funny. And honestly, you may not be a big fan, but I just, 4 interviews ago, sat and listened to somebody go on and on about how much they love Premium Live. So it just goes to show that you can't. No, it doesn't go to show anything, really.
I know the director somewhat.
David Koepp? I love David Koepp. That guy's a prince. I'd like to work with him again. I think he's a great. I thought the character was, the writing on that was just really fun.
What was the piece of advice that Spielberg gave him? Whenever they're going uptown, shoot it. Going to the right, whenever they're shooting, going downtown, always have them go frame right to left. Just simple language, you know.
That's interesting. What does that get you?
I don't know. He's just a way of simplifying things so that people see them going left to right. They're definitely going uptown.
All right.
Going right to left, it's downtown.
Yeah. Have you seen Bridge of Spies yet?
I have, yeah.
How is it?
It's like an Otto Preminger film for the first hour, maybe.
That's pretty high praise.
Yeah, I like it. It's efficient and it's clean and it's. I liked it. I thought it was not, you know, trying to be too flourishy, or and then it becomes more cinematic when the second half, when and he kind of throws in his Spielberg flourishes, if you will, and it's okay. I didn't dislike it. I just thought it was okay.
How's Mark Rylance in it?
He's the one that everybody likes. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Mark Rylance
is a great actor.
He's the good guy. I really thought, okay, I feel good about this.
Yeah. I've been real impressed with him for a long time. Mm. I've met him once. Mm. I met him once, but I've seen him do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Jerusalem when he did that on Broadway? That was Oh yeah.
I just started to watch the British thing, the Cromwell thing. What's that called?
Is it a movie or a TV?
I think it's an extended series. It's Elizabethan era. How's it?
I'm not aware of it.
It'll come back to me.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't really watch television. I don't even know. I don't have much time to even watch movies. Hardly. I'm always either working or.
Don't you, as a really good actor, believe, as many of your colleagues seem to believe, that the real action these days, performance-wise, is arguably with long-form cable miniseries rather than. I mean, it's harder. At least, they say, to find the good stuff in a theatrical.
In movies? I don't know. This notion that TV is the new movies is... They haven't convinced me of that yet. I mean, look, I like doing Boardwalk Empire just fine, but at the end of the day, it's basically a glorified soap opera. It's not like... It's not making some huge point about anything. It's just about...
Mm-hmm.
Stringing people along, seeing how long you can get somebody to watch something.
I respect that it's, if you're going to, whatever you're going to say, if you can say it within 2 hours.
Yeah, and with that, it's more like you are making a statement. You're like, if you sit and watch this movie for X amount of minutes, this is what I'm going to impart this to you. And all of these people have come together to help me create this vision, and it just feels more collaborative to me, really. Does not feel like a collaboration to me.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of get your papers and you do what they tell you.
You know what's really good, really, really good, is Spotlight. Have you seen that? Heard that?
Everybody's raving about it.
Yeah.
It's funny, I love The Visitor. I love that movie. I thought that director, after that, I didn't see Win-Win, and I haven't seen Spotlight yet. And I didn't like The Station Agent. I'm one of these weird people that didn't like The Station Agent.
That was the first one for him.
Yeah. I didn't get it.
Why am I forgetting what The Visitor is? Oh, that's...
Richard Jenkins.
Mr. Richard Jenkins. Exactly.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
The Love Affair with...
That was a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Spotlight. Yeah, I'll check that out.
And what was the opening line in the Variety review? It's very unusual, if not unheard of, for a director's best film to come right after arguably his worst.
Right.
Which was the Adam Sandler, The Cobbler.
Oh, yeah. People really went to town on that.
I didn't see it because I was told to forget it. I didn't get to it, but that's what the Justin Chang of Variety was saying. You know. Whatever The Cobbler was actually like, which I'll maybe see one day, it's really nice to see something as clean and again, the word flourishy, but it's just very straight and down to it. Scene after scene, it's really great. It's really good.
So you don't like ostentatious filmmaking, I'm getting the impression. So you're not like a Visconti fan, or not?
Well, that's odd, because I am kind of a Visconti fan. I love the Damned. I loved the Laura Antonelli film with Giancarlo Giannini. It'll come back to me, the title. I'm definitely in the Visconti.
So it's interesting. Yeah. So you have a wide.
It's a comfort thing. I just when a movie is not trying to be artistic or attempt something that seems like it's putting in extra muscle to make it kind of dazzle you on a visual level alone. I prefer simplicity and plainness.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly not averse to really
great. Or like Antonioni.
I totally love Antonioni.
Or Lynch. Visual stylist.
Yeah. I love Antonioni.
Yeah.
One of the greatest. I love Antonioni so much that I loved Sofia Coppola's little movie, Somewhere.
Oh, yeah, Somewhere. Yeah, that was a great movie.
That was pretty, I like that.
I really love that movie, too. Yeah. What did you think of Steve Jobs? You seen that yet?
That's not going down too well.
Really?
I tried it a second time.
Peter Travers is like acting like it's the second coming of Jesus.
Well, this has happened to you because you're reading all the time, but here's what happened. I made the mistake, and it is a mistake, of reading Aaron Sorkin's script. And I was like lifted off the couch. I liked it so much. I said, this is really good. All they have to do, how can this go wrong? All they have to do is shoot it and with decent actors and just get out of the way. It's great. And the strangest thing happened. I didn't like the movie as much as I did the script. And then I tried it a second time and it didn't go up.
That's so weird. With those people involved, how could, the caliber across the board is high. do you think Danny Boyle's a good director?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Danny Boyle film?
Well, definitely Trainspotting.
Isn't that interesting? Because he's made all these films, including Slumdog, right?
Yeah, I thought that was a little... Yeah, that was popular, but... Yeah.
Right.
So I stopped, just stopped smoking, I stopped all drinking.
Oh, wow.
I don't do anything.
Just watch movies.
Movies. Yeah. Write the column.
Wow.
Hang out with my sons.
How many you got?
Two. One's in Oakland, one's in New York, in Crown Heights.
So far apart.
That's true. I wish I was back there.
Travel.
But I really love the crazy. There's a lot of crazy people out here. This is a great culture for movies, and I wish I could do them both. I wish I had two places.
Yeah. Well, you can always stay with your son.
Right. We're going to go to Vietnam together, he and his
girlfriend. Oh, really?
This coming March.
Oh, wow. For how long?
They can't get away from it for any more than a week and a half, so the best we can do. And,
Have you ever been there, Vietnam?
Twice.
I've never been. I've never been to Southeast Asia at all. When's the first time that you went?
I was invited as a freebie to go to the Hanoi Film Festival in 2012, and a woman who's a... She's a millionaire who's married to a tech billionaire. And she's friends of Philip Noyce,
The director, yeah.
And he built me up to her, and she was convinced she was making it. So they caught me, and they gave me a 5-star journey all through Vietnam. But actually, you don't want to go 5-star if you're in a country like Vietnam. It's because that ice insulates you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, that, most people, when they go on vacations, they... it's really about them being treated like 5-star poobahs.
Yeah.
And secondarily about learning local culture, local food.
But for, yeah, for you, well, I mean, but there, somebody was saying there are certain countries where that can, like in India, if you go to India, you do, really do want to stay at the five-star hotel.
Because the,
because if you go somewhere else, you might wind up unhappy.
So you went on your own?
I didn't go to India. I was talking, I haven't been over, but I was talking to somebody yesterday who's of Indian descent, and they're talking about going to India, and he's like, if you ever go, stay at the five-star place. Don't screw around and say, oh, I want to mingle with the locals. Just go to the five-star place.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. But in Vietnam, it's, I don't know. I've just been, I went to China once, and that's it for me in Asia. China.
Was it a job, or you just went?
I went when I was doing a movie with Werner Herzog. My son, what have you done? He had one scene that he wanted to shoot in China. So we literally went to China for like the weekend. We flew.
That wasn't the New Orleans thing, was it?
No, that's Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. Right. No, my son was mostly shot in San Diego, but we shot in Peru, and then we went to China for a weekend.
So your work schedule is pretty intense, so you don't have a lot of time to go for a couple months somewhere.
Yeah, I don't tend to take trips unless I'm working. Yeah. When I'm not working, I go home, you know. I even want to see Mike. I got two daughters.
How old again?
That I like to see from time to time. One of them is 7 years old, and the other one is like 1 3/4.
Which of the two is like you the most? Has got more of you than...
It's an interesting question. I think the little one's going to be a hellraiser. She's got a real mischief streak to her. My older one, Sylvie's just a little angel. I mean, she's and such a good person. I'm not saying I'm a shithead, but, you know, she's just a real... real good person. But yeah, my little girl, she's funny. She makes me laugh.
When did you when do you feel that you came to an understanding and a serenity about yourself and this is who I am? When did you hit maturity? How old were you?
Damn, I don't know if I'm comfortable claiming that mantle. I mean, when you have kids, you kind of don't have an option. Have to, unless you don't care, but that's horrifying. So I don't know. When you have kids, you gotta be I feel like a lot of things change very rapidly when that happened. But I still, you know, I have days where I don't feel incredibly mature, you know. I mean, actors, I think by and large may not be the most responsible human beings on earth.
Well, you gotta, I guess you gotta keep in touch at least with the potential to feel that way, or that you're shutting some part of yourself down, right?
Yeah, you gotta kind of be able to you gotta be able to come and go, you know, and you need to leave yourself, come back, be other people, go other places.
You ever turn something down that you were sorry that you did turn it down later?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I might be starting to get into that type of situation. But, I mean, right now it's getting to the point where it's like I can't be everywhere at once. And there's certain things I want to do that I might not be able to do. But that's a pretty new problem.
That's a good problem.
Really new problem, yeah. And, I usually do at least a play a year.
And Long Days will begin?
That'll be, I think our performances start in March.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, I usually do at least one show a year, if not more. I mean, I prefer the theater, to be honest. I've always have.
Have you ever gone up?
On the lines?
Yeah.
Not to the point that I couldn't. I mean, not to the point where I couldn't get out of it, you know, figure it out. I mean, if I do, it's drop a line here or there. But no, I'm pretty fastidious with my lines.
There we go.
Break up the party.
Yeah.
Remember the first time I was ever in a play, and I was enjoying it. So I had a small part in Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh wow!
And I was just, you know, throwing it off like it was nothing. Very first real performance beyond the run-throughs, and I think we did one. I completely went up.
Oh no! And when you're with a big group like that, yeah. Everybody's relying on,
I don't know how long it was. Somebody was watching it said, it didn't look like you're in too much trouble, maybe a little trouble, but it felt, you know, like I'd literally left my body. I was looking down at myself going, he's poor, you know.
Yeah. No, it's really the worst feeling in the world. For me, it's not losing my line. I have a really bad problem with cracking up on stage. It's really hard for me. But that, if somebody forgets their line, it makes me laugh. Like when I see somebody struggling to remember the line, I start laughing. It's really bad.
Robert Duvall and Kenneth McMillan in American Buffalo.
Yeah.
Happened to Duvall. And they were doing with David Mamet.
Yeah, that rapid fire stuff.
And all of a sudden, Duvall just looks at Kenneth McMillan and he goes... And McMillan gave him a cue. And he got it, and he went back into it. But that was nice. I just love that.
Nice.
Well, can I take a quick shot?
Yeah, of course. Let's do it.